Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is that Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 12 that I was just talking about with the children. The story of Abram, we know him probably better as Abraham, being called from his homeland to go to a new place that he didn't know much about. Something that would have seemed very difficult, would have seemed actually impossible, what the Lord was telling Abram to do. And yet, because of God's trustworthiness, because of him proving over and over again that we can trust him, this was something that Abraham was willing to do. And we learn, of course, that we can trust our Lord when similar things happen in our lives too. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's face it, you and your family are crazy. That's right. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you and your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents going all the way back, generation, as far back as you can possibly imagine. All of you are completely nuts. Let me be perfectly clear. You come from a long line of people who are whacked out, Looney Tunes, Fruit Loops, bananas, off your rocker, lost your marbles, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, a few fries short of a Happy Meal. Now I feel so much better. Okay, so now that I've gone and offended everybody here in the room, let me explain what I'm talking about. You and I are part of the largest family on earth. There are roughly 7.8 billion people that live in the world today, and about 31 to 33% of them are Christians. Thanks be to God, Christianity is still the largest world religion, the largest faith family. You and I are a small part of that. In addition to that, Islam claims about 24% of the world's population, and Judaism is much smaller, but there are about 15 to 16 million Jews that live in the world today. So collectively, we call Christianity, Islam, and Judaism the Abrahamic religions. And the reason is because we all trace our spiritual lineage back to Abraham, back to this character that we encounter here in Genesis chapter 12. So about 55% of the world's population, over 4 billion people, consider the thing that we heard in Genesis chapter 12 significant. Because this is the moment that begins our family, our Abrahamic family. Now, when we look at this as Christians, we'd say, this is pretty amazing that Abraham, who is such a significant figure, seems so crazy, right? He seems, from a worldly perspective, to be doing something that you would never expect him to do. That Father Abraham, at 75 years old, would take his whole life, his wife, his nephew, his workers, his animals, every single thing that he knows, to go to a place that he doesn't know anything about, and it's only because he has heard the voice of God. He has heard the voice of God telling him to go. That's what he knows. I think most people in the world would say, that is absolutely crazy. So, yes, you get to trace your spiritual lineage back to a crazy person. And yes, that says something about you, too. That says that you, too, have a little bit of that crazy streak in you. And there's no wiggling out of it. You can't just decide that, hey, this doesn't apply to you because you're a Gentile, right? You're not a son or daughter of Israel. No, we don't get to say that either, because actually we hear a little bit about that in our epistle reading today in the book of Romans. Paul is pretty clear about this. He's writing to a group of not just Jewish Christians. A lot of the people who are worshiping Jesus in Rome were Gentile Christians. And yet Paul says in verses 16 and 17 that Abraham is, quote, the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. So there's no disowning Abraham here. Not that we would want to anyway, since the reason why Abraham is considered crazy from a worldly perspective is because of his unwavering faith in God, which makes him righteous from a heavenly perspective. And when you put it that way, all of a sudden being a little bit crazy doesn't sound like such a bad thing after all. Now, this epistle reading ends in verse 17, but I want to share with you what Paul says in the very next verse. In verse 18, because I think it does a really good job of kind of tying a bow and putting it on top of everything. In verse 18, Paul says, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. Hope against hope. We hear people use that phrase every once in a while, but have you ever wondered what that really means? I mean, what does it mean to hope against hope? I mean, it sounds like a riddle. It sounds like a brain teaser. What are we actually saying there? When somebody hopes against hope, what we're saying is that they have hope in spite of the fact that this is a situation that under normal circumstances would be completely hopeless. That someone is holding out hope for something that is impossible. So you would say, like, the person who is terminally ill, whose doctors have exhausted every last possible option, that if this person still has hope, they are hoping against hope that there will be a cure. You'd say the high school senior who has a dream to go to a specific college but maybe didn't get the score on the ACT or the SATs that they wanted to, and they're pretty sure that they're not going to be allowed into this college, but they apply anyway because they're hoping against hope that maybe the school will just this one time lower their standards. Or it could just be spring training for Chicago Cubs fans who are just hoping against hope that 2016 wasn't just a fluke. Abraham had hope. Abraham truly believed that he'd be able to pick up his whole life and relocate to another part of the world, and that he would be even more blessed in the land of Canaan than he already was in the land of Haran. Abraham hoped against hope that he really could become the father of a great nation, even though he was already 75 years old and the Lord had not yet blessed him and Sarah with any children. Abraham hoped against hope, even though that particular part of God's promise wouldn't be fulfilled for another 25 years after that, when baby Isaac finally makes his arrival as Abraham is 100 years old. Abraham hoped against hope, because as crazy as this all sounded, it wasn't so crazy when he considered that it all came from the mouth of the Lord. That because God is faithful, loving, and merciful, because God always keeps his promises that he makes, it doesn't matter how impossible a situation looks or sounds, all that matters is that the Lord is on his side and that the Lord is in control. And for the last 4,000 years since then, all of Abraham's descendants by faith, all of Abraham's descendants who have walked in faith and not by sight, all of us have looked just as insane as the people around Abraham thought he was. The children of Israel, for example, were routinely mocked by all of the nations all around them because it seemed like their ways were so backward compared to the rest of the world. Who in their right mind has an entire nation that only works 6 days a week this whole Saturday Sabbath thing where the whole people takes time to rest and worship, don't they know that you can be a whole lot more productive for your family and for your nation if you would work 7 days a week like everybody else? That just seems crazy. Or like in the times of the kings, especially the times of the not-so-good kings, the kings that didn't really pay attention to God's word. God sent prophets. God sent people like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel, Elijah and Elisha. And these prophets were preaching that if Israel wanted to be blessed, what mattered was faith and faithfulness, not things like a strong military, a wealthy and strong king, certainly not the worship of false gods like Baal. And yet the people all around thought the prophets were so crazy for saying these things, they dismissed them, they mocked them, they even killed some of them. And then, of course, you have Jesus himself. Jesus, whose earthly ministry was defined by going against what the world considered to be wise. The things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus said, were seen as completely crazy by many of the people around him. And yet it was through Jesus that this promise to Abraham would finally be fulfilled. That coming from Abraham's bloodline, all nations of the world would be blessed through the death and resurrection of our Lord. You can go on and on down the line through Christian history. You can look at the apostles, you can look at the church fathers, you can look at people even like Martin Luther in the days of the Reformation, you can look at C.F.W. Walther in the days of the beginning of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you can even look at your own parents and grandparents, the people who have taught you the faith. One by one, these generations of Christians, one spiritual ancestor after another, whose faith in God, whose following and belief in Jesus make them crazy in the eyes of the world. And all of that leads us here today to you and to me, standing on the shoulders of all of the crazy Christians who have gone before us, who have passed down this nutsy-sounding gospel to us. The good news that sounds so naive and foolish to a world that is perishing, to a world that is filled with darkness and pain and suffering and death. It's a hope against hope that was given to us as a gift of the Holy Spirit on the day that we were baptized and we were welcomed into God's crazy family. But just like Abraham, what seems completely insane to everybody else is completely reasonable to people like us, to people who have seen the work of the Lord with our own two eyes. We know we have a God who can do all things. We have a God who is able to make the blind see, to make the deaf hear, to make the dead rise up and live. We have a God who loved us so much, he was willing to sacrifice everything, even his only son. You want to talk about things that are impossible and crazy? How about an all-powerful being who is under no obligation whatsoever to even pay attention to tiny little puny human beings like us? And yet, in spite of the fact that we constantly act against him and against his will, and we act like he's our enemy, he still loves us. He still forgives us. He still makes it possible for us to live forever. On our own, we would have no hope whatsoever. But in Christ, we have a hope against hope. A hope that goes against the hopelessness of this world. A hope that trusts in God's promises like Abraham once did. And if that makes us sound a little bit crazy, then so be it. In fact, we can take that as a compliment because honestly, that puts us in pretty good company with those who have gone before us. We thank God for his crazy plan. We thank God for his crazy promises, made first to Abraham, fulfilled in Jesus, and delivered to you and to me. A hope against hope that will finally one day be fully realized on the last day. There's nothing crazy about that. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.